Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Do you know that exotic dancers will come to your hotel room for extra money? Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain the emphasis on the ridiculous training seminars NYPD members are mandated to attend. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We live in a city that does not allow chickens or any other farm animals, but we're thinking of breaking the rules.
And cracking some eggs.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
How about from now on, if we see a 30-year-old in Florida driving around in a Lamborghini, Ferrari, or a Bentley, we just assume they stole PPP money. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
I'm going to describe my vision of hell. It doesn't even involve broadcasting. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. That's coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Elderly lady robbed at Walmart in the armpit of California. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight. And you on the toll free. 888-688-WALT.
Live. We are live across the country. Route 80, Route 5, the 101, the 4 in Florida. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday. Live. Yes, we're live at 9 minutes past the hour, Walter M. Sterling. Before I go on the air every night to get in the mood, to get my brain into a meditative state, I listen to music. And because I have the taste of a 14-year-old, I listen to the same songs over and over and over again. Would you like to hear what I listen to tonight? Too bad. You're going to hear part of it. It'll be like Earworm. Robert Gordon and Marshall Crenshaw both recorded that song, Someday, Someway. Someday, Someway. And every time I hear it, I have to hear it again and again and again. I had forgotten about the song. And then I went, oh, my gosh, that song still exists. I need to listen to that tonight. And, of course, I did, and I deeply regret it. Now, let me share with you something very important. When I was 12 years old, I'd get out of bed in the morning, and I'd put my feet on the ground, and oh, my God, did it hurt. I had the worst growing pains you could ever imagine. I'd put my feet on the floor, and oh, the pain from my feet was unbelievable. It turns out when I was 12, my foot grew 4 sizes in 1 year, and it stretched the tendons, it stretched the bones, everything hurt in that foot. Then my mother says to the pediatrician, what are we going to do about this? He has this pain in his feet. And the pediatrician says, you need to go to an orthopedic doctor. Well, we didn't go to orthopedic doctors. We didn't go to specialists. We went to generalists because my mother was not a big believer in indulging in medicine. She did not believe in indulging in doctors. Try to work things out in your home was basically my mother's philosophy. We go to an orthopedic doctor. This was the first doctor I had ever been to who did not have toys in the office, who did not have a sort of funny, casual assistant who asked me about what I watched on TV and what games I'd like to play and how was school. This was a real doctor's office. We go in. This place is immaculate. It is magnificent. Every single magazine is straight and new. There are no toys on the floor, no strange stains on the carpet. This was a real doctor. We go into this doctor's office, this orthopedic doctor, specialist, first time I'd ever been to a specialist. Not one hair on his head moved. There wasn't one out-of-place paper on his desk. My mother sat up straight, and I'm sitting there, and he's looking at my feet, and then he did this weird thing. I'd never seen a doctor do it before or since. All through the examination and all through his conversation with us, he was speaking into a dictaphone. He gave his diagnosis into a dictaphone, and he says, well, you have an accessory navicular. Like, what? My mother looks at me and goes, what do you mean you have an accessory navicular? I have an accessory navicular. What that is an extra bone. It's above each arch. And that extra bone suppresses the arch, and I have flat feet. And then the extra bone pronates the foot, pushes it out. So I walk like a duck. I have flat feet, and I walk like a duck. The good news is, it would have kept me out of the Army. Well, it's not very patriotic. Believe me, during Vietnam, it was patriotic. I would have been kept out of the Army because of the flat feet and the pronated feet. It is a disaster. However, my feet from time to time, more often than you can imagine, hurt. And if I walk a long distance, even with the orthotics, oh my gosh, I've spent the life, my entire life getting orthotics for my feet. Entire life compensating for these flat feet. My poor mother, when I was 12 and 13 years old, we had to go to one of those special shoe stores, where I had an orthotic, a steel shank in each shoe, and Thomas heels, which correct, in theory, the pronation. They don't, but in theory. And a rubber heel. I always had to have a rubber heel to compensate for this. And there weren't many shoes I could wear. I had to wear laced shoes. And there was always trouble with sneakers. Well, that was my life. And to this day, that is my life, is compensating for these horrible feet that I was given. About 6 months ago, I'm going into Walmart, and I see that they have these motorized chairs that I can sit in, because Walmarts are a physical challenge for me. That I get on a motorized chair and I can drive this around. Now, I'd seen people in it, but they always seemed really, really, really fat or really, really handicapped. They'd get in these chairs. They'd had three canes. They had a walker. I'm like, that's not me. And that isn't me. But my feet really hurt. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to get in this motorized chair. And then I find out that the motorized chair community is robust and has a lot of very strong opinions about these chairs. Here's one of the reviews of the Walmart chair.
The next test is comfortability. Let's see how it feels over bumps. Let's see how cushiony the butt is. I mean, it's a little hard, as all of them are. They're not really good for pressure sensitive sores and areas. I'm also testing a little bit of the agility. These things are trikes. They're all on three wheels and they all have their own kind of unique turn radius. Now, the one thing that gets me the most about these turn radiuses, and I think a lot of disabled people feel about these carts, is when we get ourselves stuck in a predicament, the only way to get out of it is to reverse.
And that doesn't always work. I got in a predicament in a parking lot with one of these chairs. All three wheels got stuck in a ditch. A nice man had to come in and push it out, but I learned that there was a benefit to these chairs I could have never imagined, and I feel very conflicted about the fact that I do take advantage of this one benefit I never knew about, and I would like your opinion as to whether or not I should continue to take advantage of this benefit, because it's a little, I'm taking advantage of the situation, definitely taking advantage of the situation. I'll share that with you coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter Sterling. Now, it has come to my attention from very professional radio broadcasters that some people think this is a silly show. They think it's a silly show. And therefore, you might not be able to tell the difference between when I'm being silly and when I'm doing a straight commercial. When I'm sharing with you information about a product I'd really like you to buy. Because when you buy these products that I talk about, I get credit for it. And then ad agencies think I'm a genius. I don't want there to be any confusion. When I talk about the motorized chair coming up in just seconds, that's when I'm being silly. Coming up now, this is an actual commercial that I actually want you to buy something. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Do you know that exotic dancers will come to your hotel room for extra money? Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain the emphasis on the ridiculous training seminars NYPD members are mandated to attend. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We live in a city that does not allow chickens or any other farm animals, but we're thinking of breaking the rules.
And cracking some eggs.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
How about from now on, if we see a 30-year-old in Florida driving around in a Lamborghini, Ferrari, or a Bentley, we just assume they stole PPP money. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
I'm going to describe my vision of hell. It doesn't even involve broadcasting. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. That's coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Elderly lady robbed at Walmart in the armpit of California. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
So my adventure at Walmart is this. I have started using those motorized carts where you sit on it and there's a big basket in front of you. You go around the store. Well, because the stores are huge and I have sore feet and I'm like, screw it. Then I get into the cashier line and I'm at the cashier. And almost every time, because I'm in one of these chairs, a nice lady, church lady, behind me will go to the cashier, go, well, how much is it? And they'll say, you know, $18. She'll go, oh, I'll take care of it. And then they offer to pay my tab. And I let them. That is my moral dilemma. What would you do? My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Paul, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hello.
Paul, welcome to the big show. This is your first time on network radio?
Yes, it is.
How do you speak right into the phone? I need to hear you speak right into the phone because I have radio ears, which means that one of them is deaf.
Okay. How about now? How's that?
Perfect, Paul.
Okay. So giving, the person behind you is giving. They've seen a need. They were hoping for a need. But here's what I did. I went to a restaurant with my daughter, and my daughter did not know what I was doing. And I told the waitress, I says, I want to buy that table, and that table, without asking what they're ordering or anything like that. And I told the waitress, I want to pay for their tab, bring their tab to me so that they don't know it. And I left it at that. So I did this for my daughter to see what happens when you give. And then we listened to all the tables as they got their bill, and they said somebody in the room paid for it. And it was over the top awesome. One table, two guys said, I've seen this happen to people, but it has never, ever happened to me. This feels so great that I want to do it myself. So that's what you got out there, is the gift of giving.
How old was your daughter, Paul?
My daughter was 21.
And what was her impression of what you did?
She knows that her dad is a giving person, but she was excited, but yet didn't really know how to take it.
And nobody in the restaurant knew it was you, right?
No. One old couple got the waiter and waitress, or the waitress, to tell them who it was, and they came over and they just said, "Thank you. We didn't need the money, but again, thank you for your generosity."
Did any of them order lobster?
No. But at a Subway, I bought the people behind me their meals, and the lady said, "You don't want to buy ours. We're buying a group of sandwiches." I says, "Ma'am, I didn't offer with a price tag on it. Go ahead and order whatever you were going to order, and I will pay for it."
Paul, I hope you listen to my show every single week, because you are a spiritual guide. You have taught us how to behave and how to be an example. And, you know, at the end of my show, at end of every show, my 10-year-old daughter has recorded the closing. And she says, I say the greatest gift you can give, forgive me, the greatest gift you can receive is a request for help. That's what I say at the end of every show. Paul, you are an example of paying it forward. Clearly a good guy, but you must listen to my show every week because you are the spiritual good luck charm. Thanks for your call. Elton, welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-9258. Hi, Elton.
How you doing, sir? Can you hear me?
Perfectly. Thank you for being clear and speaking into the microphone. Yes.
I appreciate it, sir. It's my pleasure to address this interesting comment you made about, you know, you going and being, you know, kind of getting blessed. You're getting blessed, man. I mean, don't turn down a blessing. You know what I mean? But I was going to say you would be a good counter-espionage person, say, for instance, if you wanted to find out about a certain place and you were there, just like you do. And boom, it's done, in and out. But you're blessed. That's just a second spin that I put on it, you know.
So, Elton,
you know, yes, sir.
I have three daughters, and you're right. I am blessed. But I'm surprised every time I go into a Walmart in one of these motorized carts and I get in the cashier line, and almost every time the person behind me says, "How much is that?" to the cashier, and they say, you know, $22. They say, I'll take care of it. And I let them. And then halfway home, I feel a little guilty about it. But Elton, you're saying I should not feel guilty.
Nope. Because you sound like a caring, giving type sharing person anyway, as I'm getting through the phone. So, you know, you'll just reciprocate it some other way throughout the year.
Elton, thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday, and thank you very much for your call at 888-688-WALT. That's my dilemma. I get in these motorized carts in the big box stores where the walk is very far, and I buy the giant paper towel package and the giant toilet paper package and the milk, which is always cheaper at those stores except sometimes. And then I use the motorized cart in the cashier lane, and the people behind me usually think I'm like homeless or in trouble or don't have any money, and somebody offers to pay for it almost every time. And then I have a dilemma, like, should I have let them pay for it? And I feel very conflicted about that. What would you do? My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. We're live, so you can call right now. This isn't like the gold show or the Bitcoin show. This is an actual radio show, very rare on a Sunday night, but that's what we do. Now, there are people in the radio industry who have suggested to me, I'm not kidding, that my show being a little silly and lighthearted as opposed to screaming at the Democrats all the time, that maybe you can't tell the difference between me being silly and me doing a commercial, which is, of course, the most serious thing we could possibly do. I think you know the difference. But just to put a yellow highlighter on it, let me share with you the fact that this is a commercial, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
Private party, exotic dancers, private show. What could go wrong? Well, it's something did, and perhaps one of the stupidest, and when I mean stupid, one of the most stupid criminals in the history of mankind, took place in Indiana, 35-year-old Corto D. Givens. Went and hired himself some exotic dancers. They did their show for a private show for him and his crew. It happens. Seems like a great way to reward your friends. And then, in a hotel room he rented, he pulled out a gun and robbed the exotic dancers of all the money they had from their evening's work at one of the local jiggle joints. Easy to arrest the man, and the women also knew Givens as a regular client or a customer at Club 390 in Chicago Heights. Couple of things when you commit a crime. If the exotic dancers know you, probably not a good idea to rob them. If your name is on a hotel room, don't do a crime there. This is really turning into a stupid criminal story, but it sort of makes sense. You know, exotic dancers are out there to make as much money as possible. And many of them work as, shall we say, as ladies of the evening. Or they do a lot of private shows because they can make a lot of money at private shows. They go in, do a stag party. They do a party with some of the guys. Maybe after a wonderful game on the TV. Life's good. But life is not good for Corto Givens. He's probably going to do a lot of time on this. From the Champagne Room, this is Vilo Hul. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Keith Fons, DoorDash driver in North Pole, Alaska, near Fairbanks. Welcome, Keith. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. You are our official Alaska senior correspondent. You've been promoted to senior correspondent in Alaska, Keith.
Good evening, Walter.
I have a question for you before we go into the question about terrible things being leaked into the Alaska permafrost. And the question is this. Sometimes when I go to a big box store, I get on one of those motorized carts where you sit there and there's a big basket in front of you and you steer it around the store and you don't have to walk. But here's the problem, because I have bad feet, but here's the problem. I will drive that motorized cart into the cashier lane. I'll have my giant paper towels and toilet paper, which is all you should buy in those stores. I drive into the cashier lane, and 9 times out of 10, somebody behind me will look at the cashier and say, how much is his tab? How much is it? And they'll say, you know, $18, $22, whatever. And the person behind me says, I'll pay for it. Now, I haven't fumbled with my wallet. I haven't asked for help. I'm just sitting in this motorized chair. And they say, I'll pay for it. And, Keith, here's the thing. I let them. And then driving home, I feel guilty. Should I feel guilty, Keith?
No, you should let somebody, you know, share some joy. We need some more of that nowadays.
Well.
To make somebody's day, you know.
But yeah,
we need that. We need more joy in the world.
You're a good guy, Keith. All right. Share with us your impression, Alaskan's impression, of the terrible thing that happened in Ohio where this massive chemical train filled with chemicals, car after car after car, went off the tracks, exploded. What was your impression of all that? Well, does that happen in Alaska?
We have our own railroad system here, so we don't really have accidents like that. So we're sitting around a lot of people and we're talking this week and we're wondering what's really going on with the lower 48. Like, since January 11th, the lower 48, including Hawaii, there was one incident in Hawaii. There's been 14 chemical spills, derailments, major fires just in the lower 48. We're talking about it. It's happened, like I said, in Hawaii, Texas, South Carolina twice, Florida, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Oregon, Louisiana, Alabama, Michigan, Arizona, Oklahoma, and of course the big one in Ohio that everybody's been talking about, and even one in Canada if you want to count that. But it's like, what's really going on? Just five of those 14 all happened the same day, February 13th. Like, is this being done intentionally? Is your railroad system down there so bad that this is going to become the new normal?
There was a team of consultants sent out from Little Rock, Arkansas to inspect these accidents. There was also one in Bedford, Ohio, where a bronze foundry exploded. A bronze foundry exploded in a suburban neighborhood the same week as the train went off the tracks. A team of consultants were going to these two incidents from Little Rock, and 7 minutes into the flight, the plane crashed. The real experts who were going to go to find out what happened, they all died.
That's just kind of suspicious, too. It's like, you know, like the balloons we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Is this another distraction that's been happening for the last 5 weeks? Like, what's really going on between, look over here, there's balloons. Look over here, there's warplanes being intercepted. Look over here, every day it feels like there's another major warehouse fire or trail derailment. And it all has to do with chemicals, like the vinyl chloride. That's been one of the major ones, especially in Ohio. And it's like accidents like this don't happen this often, it seems.
Well,
Keith, in the last 5 weeks, it's happened 14 times.
Yes, I assume it's a conspiracy, and I think you're right. And the reason that I think it's a conspiracy and being done on purpose, for gosh knows what reason, the reason I do think it's a conspiracy is that any other president, vice president, secretary of transportation would have rushed to the scene of that train wreck. And they haven't. And there's a reason that they haven't. And they know that this is a conspiracy. And I think they've made some mistakes. And they're being punished for their mistakes, which would, with whatever industry is doing this. What do you think? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. The cold and wet storms you've heard about out west are pushing heavy rains, snow, and ice across the Midwest into the Northeast by tomorrow night, spreading 6 to 12 inches of snow and making for disruptive traveling in New England with some freezing rain in northern portions of the Mid-Atlantic. Now we're looking at about 1 or 2 inches of snow in the Big Apple tomorrow night, followed by sunshine midweek, and then more rain later in the week with temperatures up into the 40s. In the Midwest, rain on tap for Chicago, Kansas City, St. Louis, between about a half inch or an inch of rain through Tuesday. Snow north of this area in the northern Great Lakes, about 5 to 8 inches of the white stuff accumulating there. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser with weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour, only right here on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain the emphasis on the ridiculous training seminars NYPD members are mandated to attend. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We live in a city that does not allow chickens or any other farm animals, but we're thinking of breaking the rules.
And cracking some eggs.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
How about from now on, if we see a 30-year-old in Florida driving around in a Lamborghini, Ferrari, or a Bentley, we just assume they stole PPP money. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
I'm going to describe my vision of hell. It doesn't even involve broadcasting. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. That's coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Elderly lady robbed at Walmart in the armpit of California. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Well, there's all of this drama about the Dilbert cartoonist, the man who draws Dilbert, who said on some podcast, and remember, don't go on podcasts, he said things that seem to be racist. One or two things. I can't help it if he's an idiot. But what's more bizarre is that he was, his cartoon has been yanked by many, many, many newspapers because of what he said on this podcast. Not what he put in his cartoon, the Dilbert cartoon, but what he said on a podcast. And he has therefore been immediately canceled. Immediately canceled. Now, I'm reading this. He said one thing on a podcast that was stupid, so he was an idiot. But he draws a cartoon. How smart can you be, ultimately? However, as I was thinking about this Dilbert guy, I had to remember about Al Capp. Al Capp could be very contradictive at the same time. As progressive as some of his viewpoints toward minorities were, he once denied a request for Martin Luther King in rather harsh and unfair terms. In 1964, King asked Capp by letter for funds to protect black people from white violence in the American South. Since Capp's studio had helped out the civil rights movement in the past by producing the comic Martin Luther King and the Montgomery Story, King expected a positive reply. Yet Capp wrote back, "When organizations like yours and leaders like yourself recognize the fact that violence, discrimination, and terror are practiced by black Americans against white Americans and banned at least some of your efforts to cleaning up your own mess, people like Governor Wallace will not get such support and people like me will not feel disenchanted." All right. That's what he said to Martin Luther King, who asked him for money because Al Capp had drawn a cartoon that was in favor of Martin Luther King. But it gets more exciting. Al Capp was accused of rape on multiple occasions. Famous women said, "This man attacked me. This man raped me." Many, many women accused him of being a womanizer. His wife said this, ultimately, his wife said, "This is the worst human being who ever lived." This is Al Capp, the man who drew Lil Abner. And for 40 years, Lil Abner was one of the most successful cartoons in the history of cartoons. And in the 30s and 40s and early 50s, he was at the height of his fame. Hundreds of newspapers carried Lil Abner, all the while he was a womanizer, all the while he was incredibly conflicted. But what's most interesting to me is that Al Capp, who was also a broadcaster, sat down one day to interview John Lennon and Yoko Ono in their apartment when they were in their bed phase. Remember, John Lennon and Yoko Ono used to just sit in their bed and preach peace? Well, Al Capp, womanizer, came to that apartment to interview them and talk about it. Great cartoonist Al Capp, the man who drew Lil Abner, came to speak to John Lennon and Yoko Ono in their apartment. Now, at this point, by this point in his life, Al Capp was thinking that Richard Nixon was right and brilliant, and all of the conservative side of the table was right and brilliant. To hear the exchange between Al Capp and John Lennon is remarkable, and you'll hear it in just seconds on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys, always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
888-688-WALT. This guy who drew the Dilbert cartoon, and now he said one stupid thing, and it was stupid, on a podcast, viewed as a racist thing. And he said, you're right to be prejudiced, you're right to be... He said all these terrible things on a podcast. And therefore, dozens of newspapers in America are pulling the Dilbert cartoon. However, long before him, there was Al Capp. Al Capp drew Little Abner and recorded conversations from the Nixon White House show that even President Nixon was worried that the allegations against Al Capp might cause an embarrassment towards his own presidency as well, seeing that the artist was such an outspoken supporter of his policies. Hollywood actress Goldie Hawn claimed that Al Capp had once tried to sexually harass her at the age of 19 during a casting interview. According to her, she refused, whereupon he got angry and incorrectly predicted she would never have a career and would be better off marrying a Jewish dentist. That's what Al Capp, creator of Little Abner, told Goldie Hawn. When she became a famous actress, she even wrote him a letter about the matter, but he never replied. He never replied. Then, in 2017, she revealed more details about her encounter with Al Capp, creator of Little Abner, which got more media attention later that year on the wave of Me Too nonsense. The revelations about sexual harassment and media executives. Well, Al Capp's conservative viewpoints also alienated his fans, especially younger audiences. He vocally supported the U.S. Republican Party, Richard Nixon, and the Vietnam War. He supported the Vietnam War in 1969 when John Lennon and Yoko Ono held their famous bed-in peace protests in Amsterdam. Capp visited them. He visited them. And I think it's a good idea to hear this conversation, a little bit of the conversation between Al Capp, the creator of Little Abner, and John and Yoko. John and Yoko in their bed in Amsterdam.
But you said they're going to crucify me.
Oh, if you're going to take it
me
literally.
Is you.
Me, and
you.
I say the way I want.
I don't permit you to speak for me. Oh, who are you speaking
I took
for?
That liberty, Mr. Capp.
Well, it's too much of a liberty.
Well, speaking on behalf of the people in general, you know, in a poetic
sense.
You're
speaking
sense,
for yourself.
I hope it doesn't upset you.
It does upset me. If I'm going
well,
to choose a spokesman, I'll choose Vaughn Monroe. If I can choose my own thing. If I'll choose Madam Lou.
But I can choose to sing about what I want in whichever fashion I wish.
Yes, but you mustn't include me. Now, you're not my spokesman. Are we agreed?
I'm everyone's spokesman.
No, you're not mine.
You're mine.
Everybody
and I'm
but
yours.
Me. No, you're...
If
you're,
you write an article, whatever article that may be, it's going to affect us. It's
I don't say I am
people.
Speaking
it's
for John Lennon.
As a representative of the human race, I'm speaking for us all, whether you like it or not.
Whatever race you're the representative of, I ain't part of it.
Well,
maybe yours is the human race, and mine is something less pursuit.
Who do you write your cartoons for?
I write my cartoons for money, just as you sing your songs. Exactly the same reason.
Yeah,
and exactly the same reason much of this is happening, too, if the truth be told.
But
do you think I could earn money by some other way, by sitting in bed for 7 days, taking from people like you? I could write a song in an hour and earn more money.
Now, look here. Now, don't say this. You got into bed so people like me
yeah,
won't
right.
see you.
Not for money. That's what you're saying.
It won't do you any real harm. Except you might get
but I can earn money
but
in
an
easier way
than
doing this.
I'll tell you what would do you harm. So could I. I could make a lot more drawing people like you than confronting you. And I must say it's much more
right,
appetizing
okay.
drawing them because I can leave.
I prefer singing to doing this, but I'm doing this for
what you've just done is when you said taking from people like you. Now I was invited here. You knew I was coming.
Yeah, sure.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So we're not doing it for
you
me.
Have,
you indicated I was doing it for
all.
Oh,
that's...
you have manners?
Why, I'm your guest. And really
I'm yours.
No, you're not. This is your bedroom. But I made some note about you. But this business of going to crucify me, what indications have you had that you're about to be crucified?
I'd say we're all about to be crucified if we don't do something about war.
Yes. Oh, well,
okay.
We will.
That isn't anything new. That's been said a long time.
Who's saying it's something new? Who's making any new claims?
Did you bring this with you?
They called you in.
No, they couldn't have followed me in because I had a deodorant. And I'm delighted to have met you, Madam New. And JC, I couldn't. You are the our answer to Madam New. But I'm sure the other three guys, the other three fellas, are Englishmen.
What does that mean?
Think about it.
Get out. I'll try and work it out now, Derek.
Oh, really? Come on.
John Lennon and Yoko Ono being confronted by Al Capp, the artist who drew Lil Abner for 43 years. Most successful cartoonist in history, the first one to figure out that probably there should be merchandising with it and books with it. And he got rich off of it, as he should. But the fact is that he was a womanizer. The fact is that he harassed women pretty much his whole career. He had extramarital affairs throughout his marriage, and his cartoons kept running. No problem. Meanwhile, the poor Dilbert guy who said one stupid thing on a podcast, one inexcusable thing on a podcast, he's going to lose his livelihood. All of these sanctimonious newspapers that run all of these ads for erection medicine, they're very offended by what the Dilbert guy said in a podcast heard by 8 people. That is one of the great myths of our time, is that people like me should do podcasts. Why? I'm on this radio station. Isn't that enough? Being on this giant radio station, I think that's a sufficient outlet for all of my opinions and feelings. But I couldn't help but remember the minute the Dilbert business came up with this guy getting all of his cartoons yanked out of sanctimonious newspapers around the country, the minute they got yanked, I thought of Al Capp, who for 47 years was just the most miserable, mean, vicious guy you could ever imagine to people he worked with, to most women, to Martin Luther King. He had drawn for Martin Luther King a story about his history with a friend. It was complimentary. And then when Martin Luther King came to him and said, could you give us some money? We'd appreciate some money. Al Capp attacked him, told him, forget it, told him you have to control your crowds, we can't have any more of this rioting and business. Oh, my God. It was like the worst. The headline, here's my favorite headline about him. This was in Print Magazine. And the headline is, Little Abner's Al Capp, a monstrous creature, a masterful cartoonist. No doubt about it, Al Capp engaged in depraved behavior. Most disgraceful was his attempted rape of a number of women, from college co-eds to Grace Kelly. There may be more. Capp also created Little Abner, once one of America's most acclaimed comic strips, which began in 1934 and was centered around the fictional dirt-poor Appalachian town inhabited mostly by innocent yokels and conniving scoundrels. At its best, it ridiculed the powerful and pompous in politics and culture and shrewd insight, rollicking humor, and a distinctly lush, elegant drawing style. It ran for 40 years. And Charlie Chaplin and John Steinbeck said, I think Capp may very possibly be the best writer in the world today. I am sure he is the best satirist in the world today. Well, and therefore he was forgiven all. His job was to be a satirist and a cartoonist. That was his job. Was there racism attacking women in his cartoons? No. His job was to be a satirist in cartoons. That's what he was paid for. What he did away from the drawing board didn't seem to affect his career until the very end. Until Richard Nixon had doubts about him. He was so aligned with Richard Nixon and pro-Vietnam War and pro-conservative things. He did so much garbage that finally Richard Nixon said, gee, I'm a little worried about our association with Al Capp. Can you imagine committing so many social crimes that Richard Nixon's on the phone with his aide saying, well, I'm a little worried about Al Capp. Oh, my gosh. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday. Here we are on KDKA and KFBK, giant radio stations, stations that other hosts envy, and I'm live. My phone number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. I think the Dilbert guy is being given a raw deal. I don't agree with one thing he said, but I don't think his comics should be pulled for it. I think he should not be allowed ever on a podcast ever again as long as he lives. 888-688-WALT. I am also very worried, as our friend in Alaska revealed, that there's an extraordinary number of extraordinary explosions throughout the country. There's a bronze foundry in Bedford, Ohio, that exploded this week, 2 weeks after the incredible explosion in Ohio, with an amazing result. Today, the EPA was told the railroad company to pause, stop the cleanup. And then the EPA puts out a memo saying, don't worry, all of that garbage and junk is going to be hauled off to an official, safe Environmental Protection Agency site where it will be dumped safely. They put that in the same announcement where they said there was going to be a pause, which makes me believe that the junk wasn't being dumped into an EPA-approved site until now, that the past few weeks it was being taken someplace else. Let me tell you about EPA-approved sites. Let me tell you about this train company and what they're going to have to deal with. They're going to make payments to the Environmental Protection Agency, payments directly to the Environmental Protection Agency to atone for their sins. In other situations, it might be called a bribe. It's hard to say. But that's how the EPA works. They say, all right, well, we won't take you to court, but we'd like you to make a donation. That's what they have done in the past. And I'll bet you that's what they're doing now. Oh, wait a minute. We have to find some landfill that we own or control or can get money from, and then we'll let the railroad company put their garbage there. But let's pause until we work all of this out. And I think it is a conspiracy. And the reason I think all these explosions have happened is a conspiracy. And the reason I say that is, what president, what vice president, what head of transportation wouldn't go there immediately on instinct? This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower bound to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain the emphasis on the ridiculous training seminars NYPD members are mandated to attend. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We live in a city that does not allow chickens or any other farm animals, but we're thinking of breaking the rules.
And cracking some eggs.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
How about from now on, if we see a 30-year-old in Florida driving around in a Lamborghini, Ferrari, or a Bentley, we just assume they stole PPP money. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
I'm going to describe my vision of hell. It doesn't even involve broadcasting. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. That's coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Elderly lady robbed at Walmart in the armpit of California. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Yes, I have been to hell. Hi, I'm Brad. Believe it or not, it has nothing to do with radio. I was between firings, format changes, and budget cuts. I needed a job, so I took a casual clerk's job at the post office. The casual clerk at the post office means doing a lot of different jobs, and since you're not a member of the postal union, the bosses can treat you like crap and you cannot file a grievance. Those union clerks and carriers were filing grievances every day. Anyway, one of those jobs was unloading the postal trucks with the fresh mail to be sorted and delivered. Our dock faced the main street, and just down the block there was a commercial bakery. It made fresh bread just about the time we were unloading the trucks. The aroma of the fresh, warm bread would waft across that loading dock like that gaseous cloud on Star Trek. Absolute torture! Warm thoughts of slicing off a chunk from that new loaf would permeate your brain while you're unloading 5 pallets of Time magazine. Your break was not for another 2 hours. You had to endure the torture. That was my hell. What's yours? I'll open the phones after the news and the weather, brought to you by the new Polaroid One Step.
Polaroid's One Step is the simplest camera in the world. You don't have to focus or anything.
I thought this was the simplest camera.
That was. This is.
I just snap the shutter, and I've got the picture.
Where?
Well, I have to get it developed.
And I just press this button. A motor hands me the picture. I see it in minutes.
It's pretty. But mine's just as simple up to when the picture comes out.
What kind of logic is that?
Mine.
Doesn't make any sense.
You mean you don't understand it?
Get the One Step.
All right, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. We are live across the country. Now, you hear this stuff in my voice, that good gravel in my voice. This means I am ready to voice national spots for National Spot After Money. It is time that you, Mr. Advertiser, book me to voice your spots. Agreed? Perfect. Tony, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Walter. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm, as you can imagine, excited almost sexually to be talking to you.
Well, I don't know what to say on that one, but I'm glad to be talking
should
to
say,
you.
You should say you are blessed that Walter Sterling is excited to speak to you. Just say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
There you go. Didn't that feel good? Gratitude, isn't that good?
It did. Well, Dilbert is my favorite comic strip. I won't stop reading it because of these accusations, and I just read what he said, and I agree it was stupid. But as you pointed out, it wasn't in his comic strip. If it was, I would probably think twice about continuing to read it. But I've had a lot of enjoyment over the years. Actually, I worked at a place. It was a supermarket. It was a different setting than the Dilbert comic strip, which is an office setting. But our boss was a lot like Dilbert's pointy-haired boss. So we had a lot of fun hanging those strips around the store, and he would rip them down because he knew they were directed at him. We had a blast, and that was 25 or more years ago. And I continue to read it to this day, but you're right. He is getting a raw deal. And one thing he referenced that I do agree with, there was a poll question that he referenced, and the question was, is the statement, it is okay to be white, is that good or bad? And I won't apologize for being white, you know. But then he went off on a tangent from there and put his foot directly in his mouth or his head directly in another direction. And, you know, it's going to hurt him, but what are you going to do? I don't think he deserves the raw deal, as you said, he's getting.
We're talking about the author, artist of the Dilbert cartoon, who on a podcast said stupid things that could easily be interpreted as racist, including the fact that he doesn't want to apologize for being white. No one should ever feel the need to apologize for how they were born. That is the point of people who don't believe in racist behavior. You're not supposed to apologize for how you were born. Now, What this embodies is this amazing horror show of the past few years, which is that people are getting fired for things having nothing to do with their jobs. You should get fired for not doing your job or for, like, quietly quitting. You should get fired for quietly quitting. But
right.
People are getting fired for things they say on podcasts, on memes, on Instagram, on Twitter, all things they used to say in a bar at night after work with their buddies, and then everybody forgot it the next day. Instead, they're sitting in their lounge chair, going on social media, forgetting the fact that this reaches the world, and saying something stupid. But nobody should get fired unless it is their job that they're not doing. You and I should only get fired if we fail to do our job, not for saying something stupid away from work. And that's the situation where I know a guy who put up a stupid Instagram a couple years ago having to do with a baseball or a football team that was carried on the radio station that he worked at. He said something stupid about this team. Or something stupid about the city. I forget what it was. But anyway, he said something stupid on Twitter or Instagram or something. And ultimately, the company not only had to fire him, the ball team said, we're not going to be on your radio station. They lost the friggin' radio station. All of a sudden, without the play-by-play team, the economics of the radio station tanked. This is crazy, Tony. And then I just shared with you the fact that I was thinking about it. Wait. Does anyone else remember Al Capp, the man who drew Lil Abner? The man who drew Lil Abner was a womanizer. He said to Goldie Hawn, he said, you know, come here, babe, let's have some fun. I'm going to cast you in this movie. And she's going, no. She was 19 at the time. And he says, you know what you should do, Goldie Hawn? You should marry a Jewish dentist. Nothing happened to him. Nothing happened to him. And it was a terrible thing to say, but nothing happened to him because it wasn't in his cartoon. And Tony, you're a good friend. Thank you very much for calling me. Oh, wait. We've got something important for you, Tony. Hold on. I have new television themes. I want you to see if you can identify these television themes. Listen carefully. Which three television themes do you think those are?
Love American Style, Laughing, and Little Abner.
A good try there, Tony. No, not even close. Not even in the right century. Wrong century. But I understand at your age, your memory only goes back so far. Thank you very much for listening, Tony. Thank you for calling 888-688-9258. Now, last week we played three television themes. Of course, none of you got it. Let me play them and I'll tell you what they were in case you're curious. All right, it was Charles in Charge, Boston Legal, and this is Grey's Anatomy. How could you not get Grey's Anatomy? How could you not get Grey's Anatomy? I'll play the ones for this week again. Everybody who calls in gets a chance to guess this and win the best prize ever. The best prize.
Oh, boy, it's well to say, good morning, USA.
WALT. Identify those three themes, and you will win the narrator of Ancient Aliens and The Curse of Oak Island, Robert Clotworthy. He will do your voicemail message. He will say something like he does for Vila O'Hool. He will say, is Peter a descendant of Ancient Aliens? Ancient Alien theorists say, leave a message. Wouldn't that be the best thing that ever happened to you in your life? I think it would. You just have to identify these three themes, these three TV themes, and you'll win it. right. Many people have said, Walter, we're worried because your show is silly. I don't think it's silly. But many people say, you know, because it's silly, your listener may not understand the difference between your show and your commercials. And I'm like, I think they do understand the difference. But just in case, I want to be clear that when you hear a commercial on the show and I say, use the promo code Walter, you need to do that for the discount. And please do that so I get credit for it and I can feed my children. This is a commercial, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
888-688-WALT. Now, the train that exploded in Ohio, the multi-car chemical train that exploded in Ohio, apparently a couple miles before it went off of the tracks, there were flames and sparks coming from the train. And they got a notice that one of the axles was overheating, which is like a barbecue for whatever is in that car. They got a notice a couple miles that it was overheating. And then later in the week, a bronze foundry in Bedford, Ohio, exploded. A foundry exploded. And then the expert consultants from Arkansas got on a plane, five of them, to go and investigate these two explosions. These are the real consultants. These are the ones who really could identify what the problem is and what happened.
This is what we know. Five employees of an environmental consulting firm died when a small airplane they were traveling in crashed near a Little Rock factory today, shortly after taking off. The twin-engine plane crashed outside of an industrial area in Little Rock, just a couple miles south of the Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport. And so the FAA said five people were on board the plane. It departed the Little Rock Airport and was headed to John Glenn Columbus International Airport in Ohio.
The five people who were sent out to truly investigate these explosions, they died. And I think it is a conspiracy. I think it's part of something much bigger that these explosions have taken place since January, many dangerous ones. Because if I was the president of the United States, my instinct with the Ohio train crash would be to get on a plane and go there, see what happened, talk to the people, make sure it was being fixed. Or if I was the vice president, I'd get on a plane and go there. Or if I was the secretary of transportation, I'd get on a plane and go there. Wouldn't that be your natural instinct? Wouldn't it be? Abigail, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, Abigail, is your radio on? Turn off your radio, okay?
Glad you can turn that down.
No, turn it off.
Okay, turn it off, mate. Okay, we're all set.
Okay, you're on the air. Go.
Hi, this is Abigail from New Jersey.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. The radio's still on, Abigail.
Okay.
Turn it off.
I have it off.
Okay, you want to guess the three themes?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. So I heard Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You have to listen.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, boy, it's well to say.
American Dad.
Good morning, USA.
And The Office.
All right, Jersey, what are those three themes?
Okay, we got Curb Your Enthusiasm, American Dad, and The Office.
You win. Jersey,
oh, well.
You win. You win, Robert Clotworthy, doing your voicemail, saying, Abigail, is she a descendant of ancient aliens? Ancient alien theorists say, leave a message. That's about what he's going to say. Hold on.
Okay.
We will get your phone number. We'll get your address. And thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. And coming up in just seconds, Midnight Misfits. Well, that's you. Midnight Misfits. That's you. And Florida Stories. I know you love the Florida stories, and we'll have those for you coming up in just seconds. And what's he? And Vic Ferrari, retired New York City police detective with a cop story, the kind of cop story you'd hear in a bar, but you get to hear it right here on Sterling on Sunday. This is a live show on Sunday night. There are no other live show on Sunday night. The Bitcoin show, the annuity show, those were recorded months ago. And all those guys who did those shows, they're at Ruby Tuesdays right now, having their third, guaranteed. I'm Walter Sterling. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain the emphasis on the ridiculous training seminars NYPD members are mandated to attend. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We live in a city that does not allow chickens or any other farm animals, but we're thinking of breaking the rules.
And cracking some eggs.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
How about from now on, if we see a 30-year-old in Florida driving around in a Lamborghini, Ferrari, or a Bentley, we just assume they stole PPP money. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Elderly lady robbed at Walmart in the armpit of California. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Oh, thank you so much. You're so nice. All right, for our first Florida story, we're going to Miami, Florida. And what we have here is, stop me if you heard this before, but someone managed to bamboozle the government out of hundreds of thousands of dollars of PPP loans from all the stimulus packages that were passed after the COVID pandemic. And this one's a little different, though. For one, this is a 31-year-old Florida woman. Oh, yes, a woman. Not that women are incapable of fraud. I've just noticed in these dirtbag PPP loan scams that the majority of them have been perpetrated by men. So that's one anomaly. Another one is not only is she a woman, she's absolutely beautiful. If you go Google her name, you can find what she looks like. And even in her mugshot, she's beautiful. But something else about this story that I thought you'd be interested in is it follows this pattern. There was a couple other of these stories I've already told you about on Florida Stories where people were scamming the PPP system. One dude went out and he got a Lamborghini. Another guy went out and got a Ferrari. And this lady went out and she leased a Bentley. So a little different, you know, palette as far as expensive car tastes go. But I am baffled by these people. She managed to steal what we know of over $380,000 worth of money. And if you're going to go out and you're going to spend all this money immediately, this isn't a continuing income. This is like a one-shot deal. You know, so even if you do want to live the fraud, who are you fooling? How long are you going to fool them for? 9 months? A year? You're going to run out of money. And so I don't know if we just hear about the idiots that go out and blow it on, you know, stupid things because, you know, it's a good way to get caught and be a 31-year-old beautiful woman in a Bentley. Or maybe there are a bunch of people who ripped off the PPP loan system and they're not doing all the conspicuous consumption and getting caught. And maybe they did something smart with it because, you know, in hindsight, we've learned a lot from this pandemic, you know, not just necessarily about biohazards and epidemiology, but also if you're going to scam the government out of hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of dollars, convert some of that to cash and just hide it because these guys are going to prison for 2, 3, maybe 7 years at the most. And, you know, once you do your time and you get out, if you package some of that money, you don't have to go back to being broke. If you're going to do a scam, do it in a way that lasts. And I think that's been the big lesson from the pandemic that we should all learn.
Wait, Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Welcome, my midnight misfits. You don't fit in. There's Charlie Green, D. Wells, Marianne Treller. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Oh, and Neil Paul and his bride, Judy. welcome to Sterling on Sunday. You are misfits. You don't fit in. And here is your secret message. You need the Midnight Misfit decoder card in order to decide and decipher what this message is. You can get that at Walter Sterling Show. Walter Sterling Show. It is free. You can download it now. Print it out now. No need to wait. Here is your secret message. M. K. R. N. Y. M-K-R-N-Y. That is the secret message. You can decode it on your Midnight Misfit decoder card. We have so much going on. It's a very exciting night. Now, let's see. I didn't check to see if at 888-688-WALT, we have a friend waiting to talk to us. Barry, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hello, Barry.
So your daughter who had the car wreck, was she wearing her seatbelt?
Barry, thank you, first of all, for asking about my daughter. My daughter was 17, is 17. She was the passenger in a car, and the car crashed against a telephone pole. The airbags came out. Her head smashed against the windshield. She lost, she chipped all of her bottom teeth. She had severe lacerations on her left leg. She has a concussion. She was wearing her seatbelt, Barry. She was wearing her seatbelt. He disconnected. I thought he'd have a follow-up question. Oh, my gosh, Barry. 888-688-WALT. Yes, she was wearing a seatbelt. She's doing better. She thinks she's doing better than I think she's doing. She gets tired. And that's the result of something that traumatic. Airbags came out. And, you know, if you go to the hospital, even if you have major surgery, they want you out of there. If you have a baby, they want you out of there. They try to get you out in a night. They kept her for 3 nights. 3 nights. And they wanted to make sure she didn't have a perforated intestine. It was bad. It was a bad thing. And, you know, she comes out and says, well, I don't want to do anything about this. I don't want a lawyer or anything. Thank gosh I asked you what you thought we should do. And you said, she's 17. You have to be the father. And I don't think you want to take advice from someone who has a concussion. That's what you said. I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't want to take advice from anyone who has a concussion. I've worked for too many people like that or who seem to have a concussion. No, I don't want that. Absolutely not. She's doing better. Of course she's doing better. And there are interesting mental tricks. For example, she was a passenger in this car. She was not the driver. She was a passenger. And since then, she's been a little phobic and a little nervous about being the passenger in anyone's car. That's one of the things that she has suffered in the trauma. She's doing better. I know you've said a nice prayer. Anything you want to say to the universe about how she should be getting better, my 17-year-old, her name is Meredith. And kind words about Meredith never hurt because she is an angel. The angels were watching her that night. I'm telling you, they were watching her. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I happen to agree with Woody Harrelson about the explosions and the COVID vaccines. This is what he said last night.
So the movie goes like this. The biggest drug cartels in the world get together and buy up all the media and all the politicians and force all the people in the world to stay locked in their homes. And people can only come out if they take the cartel's drugs and keep taking them over and over. I threw the script away. I mean, who is going to believe that crazy idea? Being forced to do drugs? I do that voluntarily all day long.
Woody Harrelson on Saturday Night Live last night. And he's saying, look, this sounds like a conspiracy that we were all forced to stay home and take medications from one of two large pharmaceutical things. And then if you didn't take them, if you didn't take the vaccine, you couldn't go back to work. You couldn't work at Disney. You couldn't work at ABC. You couldn't work here, 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 and here. Stay home. I'm like, what? We were crazy to buy into this. And the masks did nothing. I also believe that those COVID vaccines for many people had horrendous side effects, just the vaccines. Problem, you weren't allowed to discuss that. I had a terrible side effect from the second vaccine. I went and did it dutifully. You know, I'm going to protect the world by being vaccinated like I did for polio and smallpox, no problem. But I had a horrendous side effect, just unbelievably bad. I mentioned on Facebook, which I had been on for years, I just wrote, that second COVID vaccine, boy, that's a doozy. That's all I wrote. And my Facebook account was wiped out. That week, it was wiped out. It's a comfort, isn't it? I almost feel like the cartoonist who draws Dilbert. I'm Walter Sterling. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. I'm big on conspiracy theories. I believe all of this crap because I watched The X-Files, and therefore I know that it's true. And then this week, a bronze factory in Bedford, Ohio exploded, a foundry. And the trains go off the tracks in Ohio. Explosion, explosion, explosion. As a leader, wouldn't your instinct be? This isn't politics. This is just about leadership. Wouldn't your instincts be that if such a massive explosion took place, decimated a town, polluted the water, polluted the soil, disaster, wouldn't your instincts be to get on a plane and go see it? To say everything's going to be okay. We're finding out everything we need to know. Or if I'm busy in Ukraine, the vice president would go, or the secretary of transportation, or the, the attorney general of the United States. Wouldn't some grown-up instinctively go there? And then, a couple days ago, a team of consultants, experts on deciphering what these things were, what these explosions were caused by, they get on a plane in Little Rock, Arkansas, to come to Ohio, to come to the John Glenn Airport in Ohio from the Hillary Clinton Airport in Arkansas. A few minutes into the flight, all five people died.
This is what we know. Five employees of an environmental consulting firm died when a small airplane they were traveling in crashed near a Little Rock factory today, shortly after taking off. The twin-engine plane crashed outside of an industrial area in Little Rock, just a couple miles south of the Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport. And so the FAA said five people were on board the plane. It departed the Little Rock Airport and was headed to John Glenn Columbus International Airport in Ohio.
But it wasn't headed to the John Glenn Airport. You look at the flight path, and out of Little Rock, it was flying southwest. Now, sometimes these planes make a circle out of the airport, but this was after that. It was headed southwest. The John Glenn Airport in Ohio was northeast. It wasn't anywhere headed northeast. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I look forward to talking to you. My number live is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me.
Starting on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. Friday's Florida Story, we're staying in the Miami area. And on this one, we're going to a little causeway. It's amazing that no matter how bad traffic can get, if we all work together, we can get some things done in emergency situations. For example, if an ambulance or a fire truck has to come by, we can all find some way to scoot over and make way for the greater good. And I feel like there was a similar incentive when a plane had to make an emergency landing. Luckily, this was at night, and so there wasn't a whole lot of traffic to begin with. But this plane ends up landing on the highway. And it's not as miraculous or amazing as Sully Sullenberger landing in the Hudson and saving all those lives. This is just a little private plane with a few people on board. And, you know, it's not going to make national news, but it's just wild. How many times have you been driving down the road and zero times have you seen a plane land in the highway in front of you, right? And look, it is a rarity, and I guess it does happen sometimes, but look, happens in Florida.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Palm Beach County, and you have seen these on the highway. Even if you're in a small town, they don't have them, but when you go to the big cities, you see those car dealerships that have this cool elevator system where it's like six, sometimes eight-story tower of cars, and they have the windows all around it. and they have a little elevator in the middle that takes the cars up, and then they pull them off. And it looks so cool. You know, it looks like we're living in the year 3023, and they're all brightly lit, and it looks like a spaceship. So cool. Well, human beings make those elevators that lift the cars, and anything that's in a human endeavor, well, it is subject to failure because we are not perfect human beings. So what happens if you have a dealership that is trying to bring a car up or down and the elevator fails? Well, it just crashes to the bottom of the elevator shaft and you get some really cool video of it. And in Palm Beach County, it's a little worse than it sounds because the dealership that had the failed elevator is a Ferrari dealership. Oh, isn't that awful? It couldn't have been like a Honda Accord that fell down the shaft. It had to be a beautiful, shiny, new, amazing feat of engineering known as a Ferrari. Yes, and I mean, it's a beautiful gray color. That, look, the car is not in any way salvageable. Don't even get your hopes up if you're thinking that, oh, you know, a lot of that will just buff right out. No, it's not going to buff right out. And I, listen, I know it doesn't make any sense, but I would have felt a whole lot better if that had been like a Toyota Camry that got crushed in the elevator shaft. Hold my beer.
Wait,
Hold my beer. Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Oh, my gosh. Look at this. A live radio show on Sunday night. That never happened. It never happens. Walter M. Sterling, the show is Sterling on Sunday, and I have an email address, and I answer every email I get. It's Walter M. Sterling, S-T-E-R, Walter M. Sterling at Gmail, Walter M. Sterling at Gmail, and an incredible website, Walter Sterling Show, where you can get your Midnight Misfit membership card and be more like Neil Paul, waltersterlingshow.com, and Charlie Green. Charlie, you are the best fan ever. Charlie is a very big shot with the United States Post Office. He does a great job, and he has a terrific son who's excelling in school because throughout his high school years and now in college, they listen to Sterling on Sunday. This is an educational show. It teaches you what other radio shows should sound like. That's what this does. I have been watching a television show, You Midnight Misfits. You notice how now that we have all of these streaming shows, you start to watch a show, an episodic show, and then you realize it happened 6 years ago. Like, wait a minute, this show happened 6 years ago. Why didn't I know about this? It was on broadcast television, was on ABC, and it's called For the People. And it's a Shonda Rhimes show from Shondaland. And it's about federal prosecutors and federal public defenders working against and together, all very young, very attractive, all people from fashion magazines. But the best part of this show, which only lasted for two seasons, is in the first season, they committed endless lesbianism, fantastic scenes of lesbianism and interracial sex. It was fantastic. And then the show was canceled at the end of the second season. And I'm like, I know why For the People was canceled at the end of the second season. I'm a broadcaster. I know how to get ratings. I know how to get ratings. That's why I'm still on. In 9 years, I know how to get ratings. There were no sex scenes in the second season. It was like somebody got nervous. No lesbian scenes, no sex scenes in the second season. Well, I don't want to see them try cases that they made up in the writer's room. That's not interesting. I always know how those cases are going to end, don't you? For the People, though, worth watching the first season. You will have a good time. For the People on Hulu. 888-688-WALT, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man. Okay, you're a crumb creep.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain the emphasis on the ridiculous training seminars NYPD members are mandated to attend. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Don't you hate it when grandma's out walking the dog and she gets eaten by a 700-pound dinosaur? For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on part three of Florida Stories.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. We live in a city that does not allow chickens or any other farm animals, but we're thinking of breaking the rules.
And cracking some eggs.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Elderly lady robbed at Walmart in the armpit of California. Details later. People of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight. And you on the toll free. 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. And our last Florida story is just awful. I can't believe this has happened again. We now have another Florida person. This is a Florida woman this time who's been killed by an alligator. And I jinxed him. I don't blame myself, but there was a guy who got killed by an alligator not too long ago. And I went and looked it up. I'm like, this is super duper rare. People almost never get killed by alligators in Florida. And I think this is like the third person I'm telling you about since I said that about a year ago. So I apologize for jinxing you good people for this one's extra tragic because the victim here is an 85-year-old Florida woman. Isn't that sad? It was a 10-foot alligator that took her down. We have the report here from clickorlando.com. They're channel 6.
Yeah, witnesses say the 10-foot-long gator lunged from the water without any warning. The gator was eventually captured, but neighbors, as you can imagine, are now on edge.
The St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office estimating the alligator was up to 10 feet long.
How much do you think he weighs?
6, 7?
Oh, easy.
Easy, 600-700 pounds.
Yeah. All right, first off, I love how nonchalantly they're like, yeah, this is a 10-foot alligator, 700 pounds, but boy, these bites and fatalities, they're totally rare. Yeah, I don't care how rare they are. I got a new plan for whenever I retire and I'm an 85-year-old walking my dog. I'm not going to live in a house that backs up to a habitat, to a pond that is housing 700-pound dinosaurs. Human-eating animals are not going to be in my backyard. I know that's a little harder to escape when you live in Florida, but you know, you should put like your flag down somewhere. When you're looking for a new house, especially in retirement, you probably want a one-story house. You don't want to be going up and downstairs, right? You probably want something that doesn't require a whole lot of maintenance. You probably want something that is easily accessible. Maybe it's got like a little handicap bars by the toilet or in the shower or whatever. And here's another recommendation. How about not having a 700-pound human-eating dinosaur in your backyard? That should be like one of the standard bullet points for whenever you're finding your retirement home. I'm just going to throw that out there. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
This concludes today's episodes of Florida Stories. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I want to congratulate Chloe Harrison. Chloe Harrison, who actually understands what it means to be a great flight attendant. Chloe Harrison was doing a flight from Manchester, England to Barcelona, Spain last week. She's 25. She was working the 2-hour, 20-minute flight on Ryanair. It was packed full of Manchester United soccer supporters. They were on their way to watch a game. However, this was a flight full of sports guys, you know, sports fans. As a rule, a group of sports fans are despicable. I don't like them. I have no interest in sports. I certainly don't. And part of the reason I have no interest in sports is I can't deal with a bunch of guys drunk and screaming. I don't care what they're screaming about. They tend to be sports fans. They all become one very small brain when drunk and together. Now they're on this Ryanair flight going from Manchester, England to Barcelona. And Chloe Harrison was working the flight, and apparently Chloe was very attractive. And these guys started acting like idiots. They said, you know, get your tatas out. And Chloe's got a nice... And she added that one pervy passenger even asked her if she wanted to join him in the bathroom for a mile-high romp. Now, too often, too recently, the Chloe Harrisons of the world would have called the cops and had all of those guys arrested for making lewd comments to her on a plane. whistling, catcalling, offering her to go to the bathroom with them. What a gift that would be for Chloe. But Chloe's 25, and we sold out of all the beer and all the vodka, and they were all really drunk, she said. They kept asking for more drinks and coming up to the front. There's nothing you can do in that situation if they're all standing up. You just have to tell them to sit down. They're all trying to leave through the back and ask for my Instagram, and I kept telling them I don't have it. They were saying, I'll never forget you. Well, several women were disturbed by the crude conduct. One writing, I can't stress how important it is for us women to stick together against this sort of behavior. It's not acceptable. However, Chloe Harrison was smart enough to realize that she wasn't in any danger. These were just a bunch of drunken guys. If there was any trouble, we could have got the police on arrival, but we didn't need that. They were just having a good laugh, excited for the football and going on holiday. And that is the correct way to respond. Not by calling the police, not by snitching, not by filing reports, just by smiling at the idiots who will forget you the minute they get off the plane and wishing them well and hoping you're never going to have to see them again. But you see, none of them laid a hand on her. They just said stupid things like guys will say on the way to the game. You know, on the way to the game. That's how they behave. They go, on the way to the game. Unbelievable. All right, let's you and I stay in touch. Here's my email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Coming up in just seconds, we have more excitement for you on the only live radio show in America. And I will tell you what the most in-demand skills are for 2023 if you want to get a different job. And right about now, as you're headed for the third shift, the late shift, as you're driving that truck 1 hour too much, you're probably going, gee, you know, I really should get a different job. Maybe it's time to get a different job. And I will tell you what the most desirable skills are today, new information that you can do. Now, as I mentioned to you, there are people in radio who say, Walter, you know, your show is kind of silly. Do they understand, does your listener understand the difference between you being silly and commercials? Because, you know, commercials are the most important thing. I swear, you can tell the difference between me being silly and a commercial that you must buy something from, and you must enter the promo code Walter in order to get the big discounts. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me!
Dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about meetings. So when I worked in organized crime, the four words I hated was, let's have a meeting. I despise those four words. I often thought as meetings is a huge waste of time for those who love to hear themselves speak. They'd sit around sucking the oxygen out of the room and pontificating until they ran out of breath. I would cringe when I heard, let's have a meeting, because I knew nothing would ever get accomplished once the spitballing began. If you have a good idea, you run with it. Or you take it to your immediate supervisor if you need assistance. Sitting around chewing the fat is meant for the bar, not the boardroom. One guy I worked with made a career out of arranging meetings with different police agencies. Whenever we were working on a case, Dr. Doolittle would schedule these never-ending powwows where different agencies sat around explaining how valuable they were to the investigation. Now, I wasn't a fan of this guy, but I'll say this about him. He had everyone, including my lieutenant, convinced he was the second coming of Christ with his smoke and mirror show. Instead of working on cases, he was running around telling the supervisors how great he was. Now, one advantage of working with different law enforcement agencies was access to different investigative tools and techniques. Now, I remember around 2001, we were searching for a homicide suspect. We reached out to the Secret Service, who pinpointed the fugitive's location by triangulating his cell phone. And I remember in amazement watching these two Secret Service agents narrow down the suspect's location in 10 minutes with this high-tech gizmo that was mounted in a briefcase. Now, in addition to the equipment and expertise different law enforcement agencies bring to the table, sometimes they offer training seminars. Now, good, bad, or indifferent, I was never into training. Sometimes the biggest waste of time was the ridiculous training seminars the NYPD mandated its members to attend. Now, I see the benefits of attending a class or conference if the individuals performing the training are qualified, but most of the time, it's empty suits, hiding from working in the streets, working in easy details, enabling them to kill a day with these friendly get-togethers. Now, I used to pull every trick in the book to get out of these self-serving, glad-handling training seminars until I was finally forced to attend. Like most university professors, these guys teach in theory, not practicality. It's tough listening to a guy regurgitate something he's never had to put into practice. In law enforcement, there are two types of people. Those who do the work and those who run around looking for recognition. And what better way to be recognized than talking yourself up in a meeting filled with your peers? Unfortunately, the NYPD has tons of these units filled with dead wood that teach these seminars that nobody listens or gets anything out of. So be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Through the Looking Glass, Stories from Inside America's Largest Police Department.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And Becky Gaffney.
An update on our life here in Delaware with our eight children and the old house. Eight children. We eat a lot of groceries, a lot of eggs.
They eat a lot. I got up this morning and I had two eggs in the refrigerator. Two. I get that there's an egg shortage. I know that eggs are really expensive, but for years I have fed my friends chickens and gotten their eggs, and it just seems like we can't keep up.
We have been fortunate that we have friends who have chickens, but they live outside of our city. We live in a city that does not allow chickens, but we have been wanting our own chickens. Hey, Matt, yes, that's us. We're the old house with all the kids and the chickens, okay. Kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies.
You make it sound like it's the Beverly Hillbillies, but really it's not. There are people across the street with no children, and it looks like the Beverly Hillbillies. Okay, babe, that's not our house. All right, but back to the chickens. We live in this city that is not a large metropolis. The cities and towns that surround us all allow chickens because, I mean, we're in Delaware.
So I think it's funny that Becky called the city fathers and has been lobbying politically the city leaders to allow us to have chickens. You called them this morning?
I did, actually. I sent a text message because I said, okay, so when are we getting our chickens? Because I am down to two eggs, and this is a bit ridiculous. And when I was told that it hasn't really been started yet and the process takes a long time sometimes, I said, okay, well, you know, I got to keep the chicks I get inside for a little while, so maybe I'll just put them in the basement.
She wants to put in our house chickens in the basement.
They have to be inside for a while. You can't get chicks in the spring and just put them right outside. I'm counting on these people to allow me my 10 chickens, my one chicken per 10 square feet of yardage that I have. This is what I'm counting on. They have to be in our house. Do you want them upstairs or do you want them in the basement, babe?
I don't want them upstairs.
Well, then they're going in the basement. So there's no question. And it's not funny. It's just what practically needs to happen.
We just have to not reveal where we live because someone could be hearing this broadcast and get us in trouble.
Okay, Dan, our neighbors who want to get us in trouble all the time anyway. They don't like the fact that, you know, we're the only people on the street who have children. So already, if I don't sweep the sidewalk, somebody is going to say something against me. So it doesn't matter if the chickens are downstairs in my basement. They're not backyard chickens, right?
So let's say we smuggle these chickens into the basement. Then they don't allow.
Then I'll give them to my friends.
Okay.
I'll give them to my friends and I'll say, here are the chickens that are going to provide me with eggs. Here's some food, some feed. I take them food all the time. That's what I do.
That's the update. We're smuggling chickens into the basement. How many?
Enough to give us enough butt nuggets for breakfast.
We had neighbors next door that had chickens. You get them at the tractor store. No, I'm not kidding. I said, where do you get the chickens? At the tractor store. You have to buy a dozen. I think it was they were required to buy a dozen. You don't keep them in your basement. You keep them in a chicken coop. You get a chicken coop built, and you keep them in a chicken coop, and it takes many, many, many weeks before the chickens are ready to lay an egg. Our neighbors gave us the eggs, and they were blue. They were beautiful chickens. They were beautiful eggs. Problem. I think the first time we had them, we got sick. And then I said to my current wife, I said, don't we usually eat pasteurized eggs? Isn't that a good thing? Don't we want pasteurized eggs? And, of course, those were not pasteurized eggs. I don't know enough about chickens or eggs, but I knew that we got sick. I told you about job requirements. I saw the strangest job posting ever. You ready? A surface warfare officer job in Akron at the Navy. The Navy was posting their jobs, leading by example. Surface warfare officers form the backbone of the fleet leadership. In this role, you will have the opportunity to excel as a leader. You could serve as commanding officer over an elite crew and be an authority in every aspect of your Navy assignments. It's the longest job posting I've ever seen. I'll share more of it with you next week. I never saw anything like this. My 11-year-old, she was 10, now she's 11. My Samantha, she's doing great in school. I'm very proud of her. She has some challenges that she has successfully overcome, and I am proud of her. You know what I'm not happy about? The school day in elementary school is too long. I don't understand what needs to happen between 9:30 and 3:50, but it seems too long, and I think a four-day week would be just fine. The greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.